I'm happy to be on. I know last week a colleague Michelle filled in, so I always appreciate that. But I'm always happy to chat with you and on this kind of gray overcast day. But I've been enjoying, this is too funny. I've been enjoying walking in the forest, and I'm parked in the car right now, and right behind me, a great big raven just landed, which just coincidentally happens to be the topic of what I wanted to chat about today.
Love that for us. They're such interesting creatures, and I'm glad that one is visiting you. We're going to take it as a good omen.
I think I will definitely take that as a good omen. You know, I was walking in the forest and I heard that characteristic kind of weird gurgly croak, which is indicative of ravens, which ravens, as everybody probably knows, are extremely smart birds, and they're in the corvid family and related to crows. And one thing that a lot of people, you know, if they're not side by side, sometimes people have a hard time telling, like, if somebody's flying, is that a raven? Is that a crow? And there are some pretty important differences. I'm just still so struck by a raven landing right behind me right now. Anyway, some of the differences, if you're looking at these big blackbirds flying, the raven, with a V in its name, actually has a tail that has sort of a V shape to it. So that's kind of an easy clue. If they're flying, you can notice that. And whereas a crow has sort of a rounded shaped tail. So that's one big characteristic difference. Second is crows are just a lot. I mean, ravens are a lot bigger than crows. I think a raven can be, you know, up to 3 pounds or so, and which is almost twice the weight of a crow. So side by side, it'd be really easy to tell the difference. And then just the bill, the schnoz on the raven is really huge, and they have feathers that kind of go down on their beak just a little bit, whereas a crow is much more slender. Yeah, it's just funny. I'm sitting here chatting with you, and they're entertaining me right now. But then when they, you know, sit up on a post and they give their characteristic sort of croak, they've got this huge ruff of feathers around their neck. That also tells you it's a raven. So those are just some of the ways you can tell the difference between ravens and crows, if they're not just standing side by side.
I've never heard the tail one, and I love that anything with like a mnemonic device sticks with me, so I appreciate that. One, the V in raven, because when they're flying, it is hard to tell the difference.
Yeah, it can be hard to tell the difference when they're they're just, and they're doing this little cronk call right now on top of a post for me. That's very kind of the ravens in our little neighborhood. And ravens are pretty adaptable. They can live in the wild places. They also have adapted to human habitation, as is evidenced by the ravens flying around me right now. They eat anything. They're very omnivorous. They will munch on roadkill, you know, they'll just you know, eat a mouse or a small, you know, chick or eggs. So they are pretty ravenous, as a raven might be. and then, you know, I just was thinking, why is it that so many of us are intrigued by ravens? And we know there's a lot of folklore and history. And so I just started digging into a few of the stories. I mean, it's just endless if you were to read up on some, you know, raven mythology, everywhere from Edgar Allan Poe writing the poem The Raven, which really symbolized sorrow. And sometimes it's very ominous. And yet sometimes ravens can be seen as, because they're so smart, they can be seen as a guardian or trickster in some societies. But it's really, I liked what I read, that they're kind of a bird of paradox. You know, some people feel that they're like a dark omen, and others, you know, they may figure prominently in creation stories. You know, there's one story of you know, the raven was one of the first ones off Noah's Ark, you know, in search of land. So there's all kinds of stories out there. But one of them I looked into, just because I have a very young 9-year-old friend named Odin. And Odin is the name of one of the chief Norse gods. And one, Odin has also been known as the Raven God, because if you look at pictures or depictions of Odin, he is accompanied by two ravens who sit on his shoulder. And one of the ravens is named, and of course I can't pronounce these probably appropriately, but Hugin, which means thought, and the other is Munin, which means memory. And these ravens would fly out into the world and far and wide and bring news of the world back to Odin, kind of were his guides and guardians. So I thought that was kind of an interesting story to dig into.
I could see there being a lot of mythology around ravens, especially, you know, we're a little more divorced from the land and animals than maybe we were when these were being told. But as somebody who, I lived out in the hills of Mendocino, and ravens were, I gotta say, they were the biggest enemy to, like, trying to keep, like, our trash. They would always get into every bit of the trash. They would steal the eggs out of things. They would come, like, they would have, like, personal vendettas because we were trying to keep the eggs from them and the trash from them, and it would make them mad, and they would gang up on you, and they were just amazing at worthy rivals they were, right? Like opponents. They were real worthy opponents because they were just such a part of it. And you had to kind of like be one with the raven and appease them a little bit because they're so smart and they're so interactive with us. And I could see there being a lot of mythology around them. They're a very interactive bird, and their calls and their looks. I mean, they're just amazing.
They are pretty amazing. They are really a notable bird of intelligence, probably one of the most intelligent birds. And I was even reading that they are right up there with like a young, you know, ape intelligence. You know, they really are smart. And there have been studies. They recognize faces. So they have relationships with folks, and they are able to solve problems and use tools. And so, yes, what you're reporting is right in line with all of that. And it's also another good reminder, corvids, ravens, and also crows are attracted to trash. So we've got to really manage our lives so that they don't harass. And I think I've mentioned this before up on Clam Beach with the poor little snowy plovers making their nests. Clam Beach, with all our fun beachgoers, if there's trash there, there's ravens and crows, and they will not only be attracted by the trash, but they can also munch on some cute little snowy plover eggs and chicks. So we have to really mind our P's and Q's, especially when we're interacting in wild spaces with the trash, because they're pretty smart that way.
Yeah, and hungry.
Yes. And I was looking up, you know, there's all kinds of names for groups of animals. And the most common name for a group of crows is an unkindness of crows, which sounds like that fits with your experience.
Yes. Yes. I felt bad. I wanted them to be my friend so bad. But you know what? They were an adversary, but again, they were worthy. And there was a little bit of a kick out of it because at least, you know, it's not like a bear. I don't want to have a bear as an adversary. But a crow, you know, I could handle it. It brought a little excitement to my day.
Like some excitement. Another term I found for a group of crows is also a conspiracy of crows. Crows, ravens. Sorry, I keep using the wrong term. But
well,
I meant raven.
It's easy to do, even as somebody who, again, had a very personal relationship with these things. It is easy to mix up a crow and a raven. But now this might be a silly question, but like, they don't hang out with each other. They look similar, but they're totally different things from each other. Correct? Like, they're not
totally
hanging out.
Different species.
Yeah.
And the ravens are more likely to be in a pair or individuals versus crows are in groups, but they can be in groups as well. But I'm just saying it's more likely, and crows are probably a little more adapted to humans, but ravens are pretty adept at adapting to humans as well. And they build these humongous nests. I was up in Trinidad not so very long ago, and I saw this ginormous nest with pig sticks. So I'm like, oh my gosh, is that an eagle? But as I read more about the size, you know, like in diameter and depth of a raven nest, I feel that it's likely that that's what I was seeing. They will collect big sticks, like 3 foot, up to 3 foot and an inch around sticks, and layer them in there and have a, you know, 5 foot diameter nest, and, you know, lay it with other softer insides. So they're out there right now. They breed here in Humboldt County. And so this one was a pretty cool one up in the trees and kind of overlooking the ocean up there in, near Tipona Point in Trinidad. That was pretty exciting.
I never really thought about a crow having a nest, which sounds really silly, but they're so unbird-like in some ways that I didn't really think about them making nests.
Yeah, they make pretty huge nests with big old sticks. So, and I'm pretty certain that's what I was seeing up there in Trinidad. And they are definitely recorded making nests all over our area. So, well, yeah, it's pretty exciting. They're pretty cool birds.
They are cool. Anytime you hear a weird noise out in the forest, there's a very good chance that it is a crow or a raven, I should say. I guess now I'm doing the same thing, but they really do make some interesting noises. You mentioned what did you call a crow? Not a croak. What did you
cronk, kind of a cronk. And then they kind of gurgle. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of different vocalizations. And whereas a crow is more the caw, caw, you know, kind of call, the raven has a very different voice.
Yeah. I just am always, now that no longer do I need to be in a constant battle with them for survival, I'm always happy when I see crows and ravens both, especially when they're walking, because to me, they look like they're walking with their hands in their pockets. They have like such... Don't they have like such a funny little walk? I love watching them hop along and walk along. They're just interesting no matter what it is they're doing, as long as they're not in your trash.
They got a good strut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like, okay, we had talked about the fact that there's a lot of mythology around crows and ravens. I have the feeling that that would also lead there to be many songs about.
There are a lot of different songs out there, and I was having a hard time choosing. And usually I'm picking like a little peppy wake you up song, but it's kind of gray and thoughtful day, and ravens make me think of lots of things. So the song I picked today, it's short, but I think it's still beautiful, is called Raven Song by Elephant Revival.
Raven's Song.
And I really like Elephant Revival. So even though it's kind of mellow and a little ominous, it's really beautiful. And, that's my recommendation today.
Just like a raven is.
Exactly.
Perfect pick. Okay. Well, I appreciate you making time, being ready to just be on the air.
Right on.
Hop right on. I appreciate it, Carol. I really do. I've got this song queued up. So I, like I said, appreciate you making time. Always a joy to talk to you.
All right. It's always fun to talk to you too. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
If I was a raven, I'd fly on through the heavens. I'd fly to all my loved ones. If I was a raven. If memory's worth saving, I'd savor the feeling of knowing love and loving. I'd remember the feeling. Some say up on that mountain there is many a raven. They call out to the living from somewhere far beyond them. From those we've loved that have flown on. From those we've loved that have flown on.